The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Renee, will you come up here for a moment? We got a prophecy quite some time ago that we always start side by side. So that's number one. So this is planned. What Renee doesn't know, I'm going to do. Hold that.
It's always something I don't know.
Some of you had the wonderful taste of holding hands during that song, I noticed. Some of you did, not all of you did. But during worship, I noticed it too. This is for all the married couples in the room, and not all of you are with your spouses right now, but you want to be. I'm just going to ask you to hold your hands. If you're married right now, just hold your hands. And there's a very simple word for you right now. The Lord says, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing right now, He has ginormous faith in you. He has extraordinary faith in you. He knows that your love is going to continue to grow and grow and grow. He had a particular focus on the two of you as I was singing. I have to tell you, it is hard to worship when the Lord is wrecking you. But I looked over at you two, and he just loves you both so much. And He loves the marriages in this church. And I don't mean to embarrass you anyway. I just want you to know He has a great faith in who you two are and who you're going to be. I just want to declare that over you in Jesus' name. Thank you, honey. When we were in, there's a room that they pray for people in just before the service here. When we were in there, I said, because I've felt this heavy, I felt something heavy that the Lord gave me to share today for weeks and weeks and weeks. And as we get closer and closer, yeah, there's butterflies and things like that, but the heaviness gets even bigger. And so today I just said, Lord, please, I just want to get out of the way. And Pastor Dave said,
you got to get in the way. It's unscriptural to get out of the way.
And I don't want to be unscriptural. Lord knows I could do that anyway by accident. So if this crashes and burns, it's Dave's fault. Joe, can you help me out for a second? I am a passionate person. We're going to go up on stage. And we're going to, well, we'll probably, sorry about this. Sorry, folks, we're going to do a little house cleaning here. This isn't going to be its permanent location, but we're going to move some stuff around. Oh, I see we've got a rope there tethering us to the ground. We're going to move it back further after we make some room. I'm a passionate person, and left to my own devices, every now and again, I can do some amazing things. Because of that passion. Lots of us are that way. But as such, also, I can, like a sawed-off shotgun, I can shoot at whatever my target is, and I can hit my target, and there's also all kinds of other collateral damage. I'm passionate about the coffee I drink. I'm passionate about my wife. I wondered if I was going to be able to say that without crying. Thanks. Put over by the organ. I'm passionate at work. Yeah, coffee. And then three in back and two in the front. Folks, we're going to build something today, and then Renee is going to teach you how to fly it. If I had coiled this up right, the sound people will tell you it would have come up perfect there. All right. Thank you, Joe, very much. I have learned in recent years, as it relates to our ministry, as it relates to mission trips, as it relates to being here in the church, as it relates to worship, that that passion that many of us have can be a wonderful thing, but it can also be to our detriment. And the Lord's been showing me this week that what I need to do is release my connections to my earthly desires, if you will, and just to go with His flow. And that's kind of a no-brainer. So what we have up here is we've got a kind of a platform for some people to help me out. I don't have any notes with me because I passed them out. So could the people that I passed notes, could they come forward? Now, the people that are coming forward right now are most of our Turkey team, at least the adults. The kids are in school right now. And if you can, you can just line up in a row any way you'd like. And they're going to share the word that we're bringing today, and then they're going to have a seat and see what I do with it. Would you like to go first?
Does he have to go first?
It says first. But it's 1 Corinthians. So we didn't practice, so 1 Corinthians 15:36. You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies.
James 4:10. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you.
Mine's Romans 14:8. For if we live for the Lord, or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's.
John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but take courage. I have overcome the world.
1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Okay, could everybody have a seat? I'll take your notes, because now I have notes again. Okay, that'll work. Could everybody close their eyes for a second? I forgot something. I need to speak to your spirits, so the rest of you can just, you know, go somewhere else for a second. Just talking to your spirits. Arise, 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 take your place. Be enthroned by your faith. One of the verses is about for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and that is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. Our faith overcomes. This is about overcoming. This is about my passion, our passion, and why it doesn't when it doesn't. We're going to build a balloon. If we can. Joy, I need you again. Okay, we're good. You can sit down again. It's just temporary insanity. It'll be okay. Dave said that we can do this. Left to my own devices, my passions are grounded on the earth. And if I am grounded on the earth, I am, as I've established, not as much good as I can be if I'm flowing with the Lord. Can you guys stand up now? This is a gondola. Is it gondola or gondola? Gondola of the hot air balloon. And right now it's attached to the ground. And it comes with it its passions and so on. They're all attached to the ground. There's all kinds of things you can do. Mostly at this point they can just stand or sit. But there's things that you can do. But they are in, if you will, a hot air balloon right now. And the hot air balloon is tethered. It's tied there, but it's also technically tethered to the ground. We have a rope here right now. And if we were to apply some heat to this hot air balloon, don't anyone tell Carrie I took this lamp out of the library. Can you hold that for me, right by? Hey, whoever. If you apply a little bit of heat to this balloon, eventually this relatively stable thing right now will rise a little bit. So can you lift up your end just a little, like an inch? You lift yours and maybe do a little bit of this. Okay. It's just a little. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's the basket of the gondola. It's not a problem. He's a little afraid of heights. It's okay. So, but it's not a big deal. But it's doing this a little bit more now than it was before, because before it was just on the ground. But now we're applying some heat. Perhaps compare it to your relationship with the Lord as you're just coming to have a relationship with the Lord. I'm learning about the Lord. I'm born again. Things are good. Why is it unstable like this? Because I've got this great relationship going, but it seems like it's a little bit harder. Before, set it down. Before, I was pretty stable. My life was stable. I had a stable job. Life was good. Paid my bills. Went bowling with the fellas on the weekends and all that stuff. But now I know the Lord, and instead of things being really easy and smooth, things are a little bit more unstable. Now, as the hot air is applied and the balloon fills up. Oh, balloons, yeah. It's in Marcy's closet. I got to tell you something funny. You ever heard the story of, you've heard people talk about herding cats? It's really hard to get hot air balloons into a bag. And could you help me out? Could one of you take the there we go. Okay. Yes, you can open your eyes up. The Lord pointing you out to me again today while we were worshiping. Father God, bless this man. We thank you for your continued healing for this man in Jesus' name. Just believing for healing every day, every minute of every day, Lord God. We believe for healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother. So now we've got hot air being applied. Now we've got the balloons getting bigger. Have you ever seen these things when they have like 100 balloons in the Arizona desert or whatever? And, when it's laying on the ground, not much to look at. But as it's filling up and so on and getting big, things get a little bit turbulent. Now, if you've ever been on a hot air balloon ride, I have to tell you, and we'll get to more of this later, it's not all that turbulent. But this process is right now. And do you know why? Because you're still tethered to the ground. That's it. It is the process of being tethered on a day that you go hot air ballooning. You go, the winds are usually either non-existent or a few miles an hour. But even just a couple miles an hour can make this move like this right here. And so what we're going to do is, just pretend with me here for a second, we are going to release this. We are going to, I've just cut it off. The tether's off. Now we are floating. And in the process of floating, it's higher, but it's not moving anymore. Trust me, it's not moving anymore. Okay, now y'all can set this down for a second. And you can hand me the balloons and set down the light and go back to your seats. Could I have a round of applause for 5 people that did not know what I was going to do to them? It's the process. Yes, I'm standing here holding 10 balloons in Living Waters Church on Sunday morning. It is the process of being tethered, if you will, or not being tethered that causes the turbulence. We have found, my beautiful wife and I, that we have the least amount of turbulence when we cut the rope. When we just cut the rope and we let go. And let me tell you about it, being on a hot air balloon. When you're in a hot air balloon, once you get up, amazing things that you would never even think of happen. Like, number one, there's no noise. There's no wind. Do you know why? Because you're part of the wind. You flow right with the air. There's no sound. The only sound is your heart beating like mine is right now. That's all you hear. Maybe you hear the we had it represented by the light, but the torch that's heating the balloon. And the torch that's heating that balloon is providing heat, by the way. I've gone hot air ballooning when it was about 32 degrees outside, and you're perfectly comfortable. You are absolutely comfortable and warm, and it's kind of like a heat envelope that's around the gondola. And as you're flowing along, by the way, you don't really know where you're going. Now, the balloon companies, if you've ever gone to one of these places, they have an idea where they're going to land. And they have farmers that they have agreements with out in Wisconsin. And they just say, if I'll be landing your land, don't shoot us, that kind of thing. But overall, you really don't know where you're going to wind up. And so it is. So it is with us. We need to, those of us that are passionate and have all this desire and energy to do things, we need to cut that cord. And if we cut that cord, the Lord's going to lift us up. And if he lifts us up, we're going to overcome. We're going to go wherever he wants us to go. And we're going to overcome. And overcome is a really interesting word, too. Overcome is a word that I used to think meant just barely winning. Kind of like if you're really exhausted and you're on a walk or a race or whatever, and you're at the end of the race and maybe it's been a marathon. You're in mile 22 or 23 and you're just crawling to the finish line. You just barely throw your body over the tape. Perhaps it's that. But overcome, when I looked into it a little bit further, overcome doesn't mean just barely getting there. When you overcome with the Lord, you are actually smashing. You are destroying. You are victorious. You're not victorious 1-0. You're victorious 22-0. It's overwhelming because you've let go. You've let God. And you're going where he knows your passion was wrapped for. I have said several times, passionate person, but the Lord knows what it was wrapped for. The Lord knows what those passions were designed for. Believe me, family members will tell you that. I don't have a clue. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. I just know that I'm supposed to follow the Lord. The Lord knows how I'm designed. He knows what he designed me for, and he can take me to wherever it is I'm supposed to go and serve him and be in the way of whoever I'm supposed to be in the way of, to introduce them to the Lord, whatever it might be. Now, does this resonate with anybody in this crowd? Keep your hands up. Yeah, well, you don't get to keep it, so hold on to your balloon. More people, all right? Because Pastor Dave said I could do this, so hold on to that. Anybody else? Hands up. One over here. Those of you that are receiving a balloon, just want you to know you're going on a field trip now. This is amazing. In my head, I lost all the balloons and they went to the ceiling. Didn't work out this way. We got two left, so we'll put one here. This couple, and we'll bring one over here. Okay. Now, we're going to test and see if this microphone works outside. I've just got one more minute, so be ready, Renee. Could those of you that have balloons come follow me? We're going outside. We're going to say a prayer, and we're going to release something. And the sun's out. Jesus loves me. Maybe somebody hold the door? Okay, that's good. Thanks. This is what we're going to do. You know, we're taught when we're 3 and 4 and 5 years old, don't let go, don't let go, don't let go. And some of us get really good at that, and we want to get rid of that. right now. We want to break that in Jesus' name, because this, we're going to take a prophetic, a silly, it's definitely foolish, but we're going to make a prophetic act right now. We are going to release the tether that binds us to the ground. And at the very minimum, our spirits are rising up at these balloons, prophetically speaking. So we're going to let go. And if for every one of us that has an obstacle that you feel like you've needed to overcome, I even believe that the Lord is bringing that to your mind right now. And so think about that. Pray about that yourself. We're going to walk over to the windows. We don't know if we're live or if we're Memrex right now, but we're going to give this a shot. So, Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to let go, to untether ourselves from the ground. We thank you, Father God, that you can show us in all kinds of different ways how we can be closer to you, how we can let go. We thank you, Lord God, that you can direct our path and you can direct our passions. And you can release us to flow with your spirit. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Folks, go ahead and release your balloons. And for the balloons that got hung up in the trees, it's okay. There'll be other winds. Thanks, you guys. Renee, you're up.
Come on, kids.
Okay.
Hi.
Oh, there's always surprises with my husband. That's what keeps us fresh. Brian shared this word picture he got about this. We spend time in the morning together, and Brian's really prophetic in that the Lord will show him different pictures, and I thought it was so good. And the picture of this turbulence that gets created when we're trying to rise to another place, but we're still tethered. And I feel like a lot of us are living in that place right now. We're living. Thank you, volunteers. We are living in that place of tension between lifting up and going to another place, going into a higher place, and the things that are still tethering us to the ground. And it feels like turbulence. It feels like stress. It feels, it's uncomfortable. And we are in a place where we know our balloon is full. You know, there's a time when the balloon's laying out on the ground, and then they start to put the air into it and it rises up off the ground. And we have come to a place where we just feel like our balloon is full. We're in a place where the Lord is filling us up on a daily basis. I just can't even contain some of the revelation that the Lord's given us, which is why we get to do things like this. This is why we, when I'm talking with somebody, sometimes it sounds like I just never shut up, because I'm so excited about what the Lord's showing us right now, and it's causing us to inflate inside of our spirits. And so we're at this place where the Lord is saying, this is for you. This is a place I want to take you. He's showing us things in the Word about who we are as people of God, and we're believing it. And so we're starting to rise up off the ground, but there are these things that continue to tether us to the ground. And, you know, like, for example, in Dave's testimony today, you know, about the red check, black check, the whole concept of, are we at a deficit, or are we getting something? And do you know that the tether was not the red check? It's the belief about the red check that's the tether. Our circumstances are not the tether. That's not the thing that holds us to the ground. It's whether or not we choose to make that our reality and our truth, or if we continue to make what he says our reality and our truth. And so there are places that the Lord's calling us to as the body of Christ where we have to remove those tethers without necessarily knowing where we're going. You know, the truth is, like Brian said, the truth is they have ways that they can steer those. Otherwise, they wouldn't let people ride them for $50 a piece or whatever it is. But as it relates to our relationship with the Lord, and for this object lesson, there's an aspect of releasing ourselves to just be led by the Spirit, to become part of what the Spirit of God is doing, and to be carried by that, to be carried wherever He's taking us. There are things that the Lord is drawing us into in our hearts, in our lives, that it's filling up our balloon. It's faith. It's lifting us off the ground. But we kind of keep our tethers because we're not really sure where it's going to take us. What is it going to require of us? What do we have to leave to get to that place? When do we get to come back? Do we ever get to come back? Do we ever get to come back to this reality? Or is this our new reality that now that we're going to live in? All of these things that the Lord's giving us revelation of. And so I want to encourage you, as we're talking through this, we're going to talk about what some of those tethers are, some of those things that keep us from fully coming into the liftoff that God wants to bring for us. Because I believe that in the body of Christ, our balloons are getting really full. I believe, especially in this body, we have had some amazing things spoken into us. We have had amazing truths from the very foundation. We've had amazing things spoken, and we have amazing teaching coming out of Pastor Dave and Pastor Bob and speakers that come in. Have you been to other churches lately? Because I think there's other churches are awesome, but I can't believe what we have had access to in this body, and it's filled up our balloons. There is a truth. We've been filled with the truths of God, and it's filling up the balloon. And the tension we're feeling, the turbulence we're feeling, is not because it's not safe to fly or because we weren't made to fly. It's because we can't fly and be tethered to the ground at the same time. And so the Lord is calling on us to release some of those things. One of the biggest tethers we have is not necessarily our faith in God and who He is. I think we have a really good handle on that. I think that when we sing that He is worthy, we really believe He's worthy. We believe He spoke the world into existence. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's truth to us. We get that. So all of those things we believe. We believe He is who He says He is, that He has the power that He says He has. What becomes a tether for us is that when it comes to what He says about us, we call Him a liar. We believe what He says about Himself, what the Word says about who He is. But when it comes to what He says about us, we just can't quite get there. We just can't quite believe that that's really true. So when it says He's the light of the world, we're like, yes, He's the light of the world. When He says, you are light in the world, we go, When He says that He is righteous and blameless, we're like, yes, you're so righteous, God. When He says that we are righteous and blameless, we go, When He says that He has power in His hands to heal, and that He walked on the earth and He healed all. There's a whole bunch of occasions where it says He healed all. We go, Jesus, You are so awesome. You're so powerful. When He says that we can walk in that same power through Christ in us, not so much. That's a tether. That is something that the Lord is dealing with, I believe, in this hour, to cut that loose. That the reality that I live in is going to be different. Reality, to some degree, this seen thing is a tether sometimes, isn't it? Because we see what is around us. We see the circumstance. Casey, did you say whose report will we believe today? Did you say that? Okay. There was a word today about whose report will we believe. That is so what the Lord is working in our hearts right now. Not about, I really think we got it about who He is. I really think we do. I really think we believe that he can provide. That he'll provide for us is a different story. I really think we believe that he can heal. That he'll use us as a vessel for that, that's different. Even though the same word that says that he can heal says that we, through him, can do that. The same word that says that he has all the riches and, you know, whatever, it also says that that is made available to us. So we're at a place where we are ready to go. We're ready to lift off if we can cut the tether of unbelief. It said, the verse I read was 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, our belief. Our circumstance? Nope. The fact that I've prayed for 100 people and all of them got saved, then that makes it true that, or got healed, that makes it true that God heals? No. My belief that not only is God who he says he is, but that I am who he says I am. And you are who he says you are. That is what causes us to overcome the world. And it's a place, we need to realize that it's not, again, it's out of a place of rest. How much work does it take for me to fly when I'm in this balloon? None. There's chairs, I'm sitting. I'm there, I'm resting. Because it's not about me. It's not like, okay guys, go ahead, I'll be there, I'm coming. You know, there's this feeling like we have to somehow lift ourselves off the ground and fly. And it's out of a place of rest. Even what we're doing as we go to Turkey and Ukraine, we're going to be gone for a month. I've got spreadsheets all over the place. We've got schedules and money we're trying to manage and whatever. And you know what? I am resting in that. Number one, I really like spreadsheets. It really makes me happy. But I'm resting in, because I know that ultimately we are not flapping our wings here. You know, even as it relates to provision and what Joe talked about this morning, there is such grace for other people. We have never had our money raised so early in the trip. We have always been like, we're leaving tomorrow, and we still may not be able to eat when we get there. And the Lord always meets our need, but he is showing us amazing favor for our team. Don't tell the rest of the team, but I wasn't sure that it was going to happen. It's like, okay, that's awesome that you guys all want to come. But we rested in it. And we left it up to the Lord to bring it in, to move in people's hearts. We worked, we did fundraisers, they did fundraisers, we did different things, but out of rest. And the Lord met the need. One of the tethers that the Lord's been cutting in my life is the tether that says, there's not going to be enough. I, because I'm like spreadsheets, I like math. And so I'm always kind of doing the numbers. No, I don't think that's going to be enough. No, that doesn't make sense. That won't be enough. And like Dave's testimony today, there wasn't enough, but it was irrelevant. There really was enough. On paper, there wasn't enough. But it was irrelevant to the fact that up here in the balloon, there was enough. It's a different reality that we're living in. And so when I'm at the store and we're buying groceries, or when we're planning things for the trip, or we're doing different things, the Lord has been sawing away at that tether of there's not going to be enough. As he's opening up before our eyes things that we want to walk in, I go, there is no way we have enough for that. But he's cutting away at that tether. There's enough. There's enough, whether it's money, whether it's grace, whether it's love. The Lord challenged me in the last couple of years about love. And I really felt justified that I could say, I'm one of those people who loves God above everything else, and so I don't necessarily really have to love people because I love God. That was not preached in this church. I'm not sure where I got that. But I really felt like that's just not who I am. And the Lord, I can't remember, I think Dave taught about loving and loving the unlovely. And I was like, I can't even love lovely people. I can't even love my family well. And I was just wrecked. I can't love enough. I know, Lord, my balloon is full with the truth that you want me to love. But I can't get off the ground because I don't have enough love. That's my tether. And the Lord made it true to me that there was enough. There's enough love. Yeah. That if I'm tapping into him, I'm not the source of that love. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you glad, honey? I'm not the source of that love. I stayed connected to him, and I love people way more than I thought I ever could. Because he does. Because we're connected to it. So, we are in a place, I don't think we truly understand who we are. You know, we recently, I'll make this really fast. We recently bought a minivan, because I had a sedan, and that's great. But we're always hauling stuff, and we've got kids and kids' friends and baseball equipment, and we're, you know, taking boxes to be shipped to Ukraine. And so I wanted a van. So we sold our car, and we needed money for the trip as well. So we sold our car, and we bought a van that would leave us some leftover to put towards the trip. And that, so, like, we bought a 2000, what is it, van?
Ford Windstar.
And the Lord really gave it to us. And now, my illustration here, I love my van. I feel blessed by my van. I like my van. It was God's provision for us. But that doesn't work really well with my illustration, so I just want to. The van is a 2000, so it has almost 200,000 miles on it. It's been very well maintained. But it was a blessing that we could sell the car and have enough money to put toward the trip and still get a van, which is what I need. But it's not new. And it's not fast. And it's not super attractive. But it's, you know, it works. And so I'm driving to church, and I had some errands on the way. I'm driving to church, and I come up to a stop sign, and there's a car coming, and I thought, well, I can't pull out in front of him because my van goes like 0 to 60 in 4 minutes. So I waited because it's not fast. So, you know, okay, and all the way along on my drive, I was like aware of the limitations of the van. So I'm trying to come onto an exit ramp, and I'm like, I know I'm supposed to accelerate, but there's no way I'm going to get ahead of that guy. Or I stopped at a stoplight, and I see someone looking down at the side of my vehicle, and I'm like, yeah, I know there's rust on the door. I know, that's probably what you're looking at, you know. Or, I'm sure he's hearing the rattle, the exhaust system underneath rattles a little bit. And so I'm like, yeah, sorry, it's my car. And so the entire way I was aware of the limitations of my van. I drove it like a car that is 13 years old or whatever it is that has almost 200,000 miles on it. And so I get into the church parking lot, and I get out of the car, and I shut the door, and I laugh out loud because I wasn't driving the van. I was driving Brian's brand new 2012 Taurus, Ford Taurus. It's a company car. It is sassy and kind of sporty, and it goes 0 to 60 in 4 seconds, not 4 minutes. But all the way, he was fixing. No, I don't know that. I've been told in the manual it says it can do that. But the point is that the entire way there, I drove as if I were in the old car. And when I got there, I realized I wasn't in the old car. I could have left that guy in my dust if I had pulled out in front of him. Do you know what I mean? Do you see the picture? Okay, we drive like we're in the old car. You are not in the old car. You are in Christ. And there's at least it says in a something I was reading, 106 times Paul talks about what we have in Christ. So if you ever want to look that up, you are not in the old car. Don't drive like you're in the old car. Don't act like you're tethered to the ground.
I think we need to clap for that.
Yeah. It is. It's an awesome thing. It's an amazing thing. We have the fullness of God available to us because we're in Christ. And that is in every area. And I don't want to drive like I'm in the old car anymore. That is not. And really, it's even cooler than Brian's sporty, sassy 2012 Ford Taurus. What the Lord's given us. It's an amazing, amazing thing if we can get a handle of who we really are and what car we're driving. If we can know that we are meant to fly and cut loose those tethers that connect us. I don't know what that looks like, but I know that we have a handle on some things. The Lord is drawing us into some truths about not only who He is, but who we are in that. We are carriers of His glory. There is an aspect of wanting to see His glory come and not realizing that we have the ability in a lot of ways to make that happen. By just being willing to release it. We're not the source of that glory. We're the ones that we get to have that glory flow through us without striving. So consider, am I driving the old car today? Am I driving like I'm in the old car? Because you don't even have the old car anymore. You don't get it anymore. That's gone. Behold, the old is gone, the new has come. Yeah. And consider, what are the things that are tethering me to the ground? It's not walking by faith that causes the turbulence and the tribulation. It's trying to be in both places at the same time. Amen. Trying to stay connected to this and embrace this at the same time. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Amen. Okay.
Just, I hate the way Brian is always showing us guys up, you know. It's a great model. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Renee. You know, Renee didn't know it, but we prayed on Thursday concerning faith and breaking off unbelief and releasing the simplicity of faith. So this is a demonstration, because one of the greatest tethers that we have is unbelief, whether it's unbelief in who we are, who God's created us to be, unbelief that exalts this realm above the real realm, you know, and we don't want to talk about the real realm for fear of being, you know, spooky spiritual. The Lord gave me a scripture this morning, and I thought I was going to be opening the service. I was going to open with it. But then I found out I wasn't opening the service. I'm supposed to know those things, you know. But I want us to stand, and I want to read a scripture over you. And what I want to do is I want to lay before us unbelief. Okay? Do you see it in your spirit, man? Do you see areas of unbelief in your heart? Do you see areas where You believe everything about God, but you don't believe what He says about you? Do you see the reality of the spirit realm? And I want to read this scripture over everything that opposes the voice of the Lord, because His word is true, right? Just place your hearts before God right now. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So, Father, we call for the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, to come and break asunder, God, the cedars of Lebanon of unbelief. God, we call for the voice of the Lord to break those things that want to oppose the truth of your word. Father, we're praying for a release where the voice of the Lord is more secure than the circumstances that we face. Father, we're asking for the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, to become more prominent in our hearts and in our lives. God, that those tethers that want to hold us to carnal reasoning, carnal making sense of things, and carnal imaginations are broken by the voice of the Lord. If you believe that, if you want to receive that, say yes in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you that your voice is amazing. I pray, God, that there would be an opening in a fresh way and an ability to believe your voice over this body, over me, over us as leaders, over us as a city, that when your voice, when you speak, things happen. In Jesus' name.